Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
Christe eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
Let us pray. O God, strength of those who hope in you, graciously hear our pleas, and since without you mortal frailty can do nothing, grant us always the help of your grace, that in following your commands we may please you by our resolve and our deeds. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I too will take from the crest of the cedar, from its topmost branches, tear off a tender shoot, and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel I will plant it. It shall put forth branches and bear fruit, and become a majestic cedar. Birds of every kind shall dwell beneath it, every winged thing in the shade of its boughs, and all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, bring low the high tree, lift high the lowly tree, wither up the green tree, and make the withered tree bloom. As I, the Lord, have spoken, so will I do. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, it is good to give thanks to you, to give thanks to you. Lord, it is good to give thanks to you, to give thanks to you. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your loving mercy in the morning and your truth in the watches of the night. Lord, it is good to give thanks to you, to give thanks. The just shall flourish like the palm tree and grow like a Lebanon cedar, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. Lord, it is good to give thanks to you, to give thanks to you. Still bearing fruit when they are old, still full of sap, still green, to proclaim that the Lord is upright. In him, my rock, there is no wrong. Lord, it is good to give thanks to you, to give thanks to you.
Psalm
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, we are always courageous, although we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yet we are courageous, and we would rather leave the body and go home to the Lord. Therefore, we aspire to please Him, whether we are at home or away. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that we may each receive recompense according to what He did in the body, whether good or evil. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The seed is the word of God, Christ is a sower. All who come to Him will live forever. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all the seed would sprout and grow. He knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed that, when it is sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord. Morning. The gospel this week ends with a statement concerning Jesus and the use of parables. And I quote, "With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them." End quote. In another translation of this particular passage, it states, "They were able to hear it." The better and more direct meaning is the current translation, stating they were able to understand it because that's what Jesus was trying to do, to help them understand, not just hear. This word parable was used many times in reference to Jesus in the Gospels. So what does this word mean? I'm sure most of you know, but just to refresh, simply stated, a parable is a small story used to illustrate a moral or a spiritual lesson. The word is taken from the Latin root parabolo, or Greek parabole. This compound word comes from para or pada, which means to come alongside or compare, and balo, which literally means to throw or see with. In using these parables, Jesus used everyday objects known to all who were living in those times. And you remember some of the things that Jesus used when he spoke in parables. He used things like salt, light, coins, yeast, and he also used seeds and planting and harvesting as he did in today's parable. And have you ever stopped to think why Jesus used so many examples in the gospel parables that relate to planting and farming crops and then harvesting them? He used these agrarian references because Jesus knew his audience. He knew his congregation. See, a large part of the society during those times was, in fact, agrarian. In other words, they were involved in some type or form of farming. And so let us look how farming, especially in the time when Jesus walked the earth, relates to our faith in God and why Jesus used these excellent examples. Now, to ensure a good harvest, the farmer needed to, number one, plant good seed, keep their fields free from competing weeds and harmful pests and insects, and then gather and harvest their crops at the proper time. In those days, as much as one tried to control all of these factors, a farmer still depended upon God for the absolute fundamental things, those things being land, you know, good soil, rain, sufficient light, and warmth. Farmers knew they had to work hard. It was part of their life, and it is still part of their life today. But they also knew that growth is something that takes place almost independently of their efforts. And realistically, until the creation of such things like powerful fertilizers and irrigation methods to enhance growth, the only thing a farmer could do was cooperate with the life force and wait for things to grow. The mere fact that it happened was truly a mystery that they trusted, but it wasn't something that they could speed up or something that they could force. These farm or farming type parables, and especially in Mark's gospel, teach us the basic concept of growth in life. In this same way, we consider the growth in our own spiritual lives. The growth of our own spiritual life depends on God, and it is sometimes a growth that takes place very gradually, even to the point that we can't even recognize it. And to be truthful, we usually don't. And so, like the small seeds in the parable, once a small seed is planted in our inmost beings, God Himself cares for the growth. And it is through the work of the Holy Spirit that our spiritual growth comes from within us. And it's true, like the farmer, we can nurture this growth by removing those thorns and pests and weeds that we all have in our own lives. We can make decisions to avoid certain angers or attitudes or, yes, sometimes all of those lingering resentments that we have for maybe family or friends or even coworkers. We can begin to remove our self-centeredness and our sometimes indifference to the poor and our indifference to those who are suffering. And for those who don't quite fit the mold of what we consider as being normal, we can also truly nourish our spiritual life and faith by developing our prayer life. We need to learn how to pray. And by reading and studying God's Word, and yes, by being fed by the Eucharist. And little by little, very slowly and very gradually, we see these small seeds begin to spring forth to life. And how do we know that? Because we see a change. There is a change in us. And people can see it in us, in our attitudes, and how we treat them. You know, sometimes other people are mirrors, and we see ourselves in that mirror. But this is usually without us really knowing when and how it happened, because it becomes part of who we are. And yes, it usually is slow and gradual. No overnight transformations. No St. Paul moments. Even though it is possible, highly improbable. No lightning bolts. Actually, our growth will be more than likely slow and steady. That is, in fact, if we allow God to work in us. If we allow God to work in us. And this at times is a real struggle that we all go through. I include myself. We all go through this because we often resist. And so we fall backwards. And why do we do this? Because we all suffer from the human condition. We have to fight this. However, the seeds in these parables are meant to show that great things can come from very small beginnings. The main emphasis in these parables is on the seed and its ability to grow into something large and something that's full of life, which is compared to the kingdom of God that germinates in each one of us to reach its full potential. You know, while he was on earth, Jesus planted the seeds of the kingdom by his very life, as we all know, by the miracles, by his teaching, but also by his suffering, death, and then his resurrection into new life, into a new creation. But the kingdom itself is not yet fully established. Even though it was present in Jesus and his group of the 12, the kingdom has not completely come to fruition here on earth. And just as the seed in the parable needs time to grow, so does God's kingdom here on earth. So you see, Jesus uses these powerful stories to actually engage the people and to help them to use their own imaginations to understand what the real kingdom of God is. And not a throne with a king and all of the riches that go along and went along with the court of a king, but the transformation of the human heart, the transformation of our hearts. These seeds signify a very small and very unimpressive beginning, really obscure by human standards, because they're almost unnoticed. But in the end, they blossom and grow into a fruitful harvest. Even the smallest of seeds, as we heard in the second part of the gospel today about the mustard seed, becomes a haven. Even the smallest of these seeds becomes a haven for the birds who even build their homes there. By this time, you're probably asking yourself, okay, so what do these seeds or these parables of seeds have to do with me? I'm not planting anything. But yes, you are. We have the power to plant seeds every day in our own lives, but also in the lives of those around us. And it's very true that these seeds must be cultivated and helped along, but they will never begin this process to grow unless we first plant them. It's like the man who said, you know, I'll never win the lottery, but never made the effort to buy a ticket. Seeds will never grow unless we make the effort to plant them. So I say to you, and I challenge myself also, don't be lazy. Let all of us begin with ourselves. Plant good seeds and then move on to those who we know and those who interact with us. That good seed will change everything around it, including and starting with ourselves. Planting good seeds, though, takes discipline, and it also takes courage to admit that we ourselves need some cultivation. But always remember, God will help to cultivate and grow our planted seeds if we allow Him to do so. The key is to be open and not to resist when a small seed that has been planted by ourselves or someone else in our lives starts to sprout. And so I say to you, let go to let God. May Almighty God bless you, and may He give you courage. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us stand and profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, and lived. Through Him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight, and so we bring our needs and the needs of the world to the God in whom our faith resides.
For Pope Francis, as he continues in his ministry, teaching with words and examples that all can readily understand, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That leaders in our nation and the world recognize their important role in caring for God's creation, so that there may yet be good land and water and food for generations to come, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all the church's missionaries who plant the seeds of God's word in all kinds of conditions, and especially for their safety, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For safety from the storms and floods of summer, hurricanes, tornadoes, and other natural disasters, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who serve and protect our nation at home and abroad, and for their families and loved ones, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Marcelino B. Gonzalez, Jesusita J. Canales, Delia Farias, Antonio Campion, Anita B. Garza, James Boley, and Diana Sotelo, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for all of the prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. My dear friends, for all of our needs, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray. O God of all creation, you have dominion over all you have made. Bring to fruit the word you have planted in us, and graciously grant these and all our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Thank you.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Let us pray. O God, who in the offerings presented here provide for the twofold needs of human nature, nourishing us with food and renewing us with your sacrament, grant, we pray, that the sustenance they provide may not fail us in body or in spirit, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For we know it belongs to your boundless glory that you came to the aid of mortal beings with your divinity and even fashioned for us a remedy out of mortality itself, that the cause of our downfall might become the means of our salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him the host of angels adores your majesty and rejoices in your presence forever. May our voices, we pray, join with theirs in one chorus of exultant praise as we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim, by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son, and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Michael, our Bishop, his brother Bishops Edmund and Renee, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who were pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen, 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 amen.
At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Peace be with you.
God bless you.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Please join in singing our communion hymn, number 774, Blessed Are They.
Hello, I'm Father Han Pham, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.